is the Pacifica Governance Committee meeting. What time is it? Does anybody have the time?
8:55 Eastern.
8:55 Eastern Standard Time, so we're 5 minutes before 9 Eastern Standard. Yeah, we okay. And let's see, shall I make a roll call? I forgot what I'm supposed to do. Okay, let me call roll. Marcel Reed from WPFW.
Here.
Okay. Tracy Rosenberg from KPFA. Not yet. Okay. Nancy Sabar Naditomi from KPFT. Present. John Winger for KPFK. Absent. Okay. Bob Letter from WBAI.
Here.
Here. Okay. R. Paul Martin from WBAI.
Here.
Here. Brenda Medina from KPFK. Absent. Okay. Tony Norman from WPFW. Absent. Okay. Jessica Apollinaro from KPFT. Absent. Mal Bernstein from KPFK and KPFA.
Here.
Yes, A. And Kathy Davis from WBAI. Absent. Gail Dixon from WPFW.
Here.
Yes. Sasha Futren from KPFA. Here. Okay, good. We've got 8 out of 13. We have quorum. Now, next date. How is everybody's feeling? The end of this month for January? January 4th, I believe, or
January 4th.
January 4th. Second is a little bit too difficult, I think. Fourth, or I think some of us don't want December 27 or 28th, right? Finance and coordinating, or 22nd, 23rd.
I think a bunch of us have already agreed that January 4th works.
Yes. Okay. How about you, Sasha?
I'm sorry, what
January
4th? Chosen.
January 4th, how do you think about that? It's either 4th or after that is 3rd. Excuse me?
Do we know what day of the week it is?
It's a Wednesday.
It's a Wednesday, I'm sorry.
Okay,
January 4th.
I think that should be fine.
Okay. Gail, how are you about Wednesday, January 4th? Is that
okay.
Good? Oh, good. All right, all right. And I will try to join. I hate to miss it. Really. Okay. All right. So the next meeting we'll meet at January 4th, a Wednesday next year. Okay. And please tell the others that if you see them, let them know at the your local meetings. All right. Next agenda. Let's see, I wish I could find the agenda. Continuation of last week, last time's agenda, and did everybody get my agenda that I sent?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Good. All right. I wish I could see it. Well, I can't see it. Okay. So about the code of code of conduct report that staff or even board members or anybody fills out and gives to the manager. I would like to make a motion to put on that report a place for the manager to sign and the date and time. And then also a place for the person who is the author of the report to sign a promise that what they're putting down is true to the best of their knowledge.
Nancy?
Yes, yes. Who's speaking? Who is this?
This is Mal. If that's something that's at your station, I don't think that's a Pacifica issue.
Oh, really? You're kidding.
We don't have anything called that at KPFA, and I don't see anything in the bylaws about it.
Oh, really? So your other stations, how about WPFW or WBAI?
No,
we don't have
here.
That.
WBAI.
We don't have that.
Also, KPFT is the only one that has it then.
Yeah, so that's something for you to take up with your local board, I think.
Oh, but I think that's a nice thing to have, don't you think? All around?
Well, I don't know anything about it.
Well, it's like, okay, like, for example.
Nancy, this
yeah?
is Bob Lederer. Before you go
yes,
on.
Yes.
I think the protocol is first to set the agenda and then start discussing
oh,
things.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. Yes. Okay, let's set the agenda first. And we had left off about this code of conduct report, and I misunderstood that. I thought all the stations had this, but now I understand only KPFT has it, and that was left to do. I wish I could see my...
Pardon me, Madam Chair. Would you like me to read the agenda off to you, and
that way, please.
Listening on the stream as well? Number one is call to order. Number two is roll call by co-chair. Approval of minutes, approval of agenda, and then the agenda, which was to pick the next date, which we've completed. How many meetings called that missed quorum before a committee is recognized?
Yes.
And then number three is how long after the board is slated before a committee must meet and reach quorum. Number four is rule to require management to provide any documents regarding finance and operations to the PNB, LSB, and stakeholders. Start with paid salaries and histories, like how long frozen positions names all with their signed permission. In brackets, which is really allowing freedom of expression out of desperation, close bracket, period. Five, code of conduct, one, signature of the manager with date and time received, two, signature of applicant stating that the info disclosed is true to the best of his or her knowledge, three, signing all, after all signing is completed, a photocopy be given to the applicant. Okay, a number... six is new business, and number seven is to adjourn.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
So approval of the minutes. Okay. My minutes are for the last two times I wrote briefly.
I'm sorry, Nancy.
Nancy,
we need to vote on that agenda that was just read out.
Approval
okay,
of the minutes.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay. So is there agreement on the agenda?
This is Bob.
Yes, Bob, from WBS.
Yes. The item about how long after, I think what it meant to say was after the committee is slated to begin meeting, must it meet and reach quorum? I think our streamer answered that for us just before we got on the stream by saying there's a policy
30.
That the streamers will only stay around for 30 minutes, and then if quorum is not attained, they will leave, and it's not possible or proper under the bylaws to continue with the meeting. So I think that question has been asked and answered, and we can delete it from the agenda.
Yeah, but he also said, but some do longer and some do shorter.
No, he said some do shorter than 30 minutes, but none do longer than 30 minutes.
Oh, well, it's not written in... Hello, did somebody come on? Anybody come on? Somebody left.
I don't know.
Well, somebody came on. All right. So let's, strike that. I think John was doing from opinion or he was slating a rule, or I don't know if the, I don't know if this is a rule or not. But
he was stating it as a rule.
Okay, let's not do number three. We might do it later on, but I mean, let's take off number three. Okay, so... How many meetings called at Ms. Quorum before a committee is reorganized? Anybody?
Well, right now we're just voting on whether to accept this as an agenda.
Yes. Okay. Can we vote on this agenda?
No, we have to vote on the agenda first.
Okay. We already did that. How many meetings called at Ms. Quorum before a committee is reorganized?
I'm sorry.
We have to decide on whether or not we want the agenda approved.
Right.
Nancy.
It's just an up or down. I mean, unless someone has an amendment, you can ask if anyone has an amendment. If not, you can say, is there any objection to adopting this agenda as read? Then
okay.
We can
any
go
amendments? Any objections to the agenda as read without number three? Without the long, how long the board is slated before a committee must meet.
Somebody have a resolution. I think you might ask that somebody would somebody like to make a motion that we accept the agenda?
Okay. Do you make the
I make a motion we accept the agenda. Marcel.
Okay. Okay. All right. How many meetings? Did somebody come on or off? How many meetings that miss quorum before a meeting is reorganized?
We haven't
voted on the agenda
yet, Nancy.
We have to approve the agenda.
Does anybody object to this agenda? Okay, then this agenda is approved. Okay, can we just start? How many meetings called that miss quorum before a committee is reorganized? Anyone want to take a stab at this? All right. Miss quorum before a committee is reorganized. Reorganized, may I have a question? Does that mean it goes back, the LSBs have to repick their people, their representatives for these committees?
Our fault is that.
I'm sorry, Nancy.
Yes.
What are you asking?
Okay. How many meetings called that miss quorum before committee is reorganized? So reorganized, I'm asking, what does that mean? That means that the LSBs need to re-elect their representatives for the committee?
It must mean only that the LSBs whose committee members have failed to show up have to pick new members to replace them. That's all it can mean.
Okay. Three non-quorum meetings, and then, well, is that a good number, three?
Excuse me, Nancy, R. Paul has been asking to be recognized, and after him I would like to speak.
Oh, yes, R. Paul, I didn't hear you. Go ahead.
Ah, okay.
From WBAI, yes.
This is R. Paul Martin from BAI. This is a motion that would go to the PNB, I suppose. So we have to take into account how exactly, what the mechanics of this would be if we're going to get it to go there. So I think we have to pay some attention to how this would work, and the issue of does everybody have to get revoted on would be one issue that comes up. And to me, it seems that if you're going to reorganize a committee, and let's say it goes to I think this would really only apply if the committee couldn't start. Like this committee didn't start for almost 6 months, or more than 6 months this year. I think it would apply then. If committees are just missing quorum, I think you just have to say, gee, that's unfortunate, and you should tell people to show up. And I don't think you can get into trying to redo the committee, because that's a big job. I mean, going back to all of the LSBs and having them revote, would they even do that? And then having the PNB put on its agenda this one committee to assign somebody to, they'll probably assign the same people. The LSBs will assign the same people, and you'd have the same problem. So it's a big deal, and I would say this thing should really only apply if the committee can't get started within X amount of time after being done by the PNB.
I see. Okay. All right, Bob from WBAI. Bob Litter.
Yes. I think our Paul has a good point that in general, I don't know if this is a policy you want to enact unless it's, you know, at the beginning of the year where it's just not getting going. So, I don't have a suggestion, a particular suggestion. I think it's something we should think about for a meeting before we just pass a policy tonight. But, that's it.
Okay. Can I chime in? We could say the convener, it's usually the first meeting. We had problem with convening. We didn't convene until the summer. We started the first meeting. So if a convener is unable to convene within a month, or I think they should ask somebody else to convene. Sometimes it's just the convener was very, very busy. And, and I really don't have a good idea about – I thought and thought about this – how many meetings missed. It's very – very difficult. We can table this issue unless somebody else has some other input to put in.
Can I speak?
Sasha? Yes, yes, Mal. Mal from KPFA.
It still seems to me that we ought to do something to encourage people to show up at the called meetings. And I still think that whether a quorum is met or not, we should try to enact a policy that would require people who miss three consecutive meetings, let's say whether they make quorum or not, to automatically resign from the committee.
I think we already passed that two yeah. meetings ago.
We passed that. Yeah.
Yeah. You started the ball rolling on that. Yes. I think that's very good. Is everyone happy about that? That was a unanimous vote.
Yeah.
Oh, wait a minute. It was.
That's sitting before the PNB, waiting for them to vote on.
Yes.
Okay.
I sure wouldn't vote for it though.
Then we have to give a commercial about it. We need to talk to people. Okay, so shall we table this and go to the next, unless anybody else has some good idea about this? Because here comes January, and if the convener, we should urge the convener and all the representatives who asked to be on this committee to show up. I guess we should be more aggressive in telephoning and put more personal touch to it. Okay, let's table this, if that's okay with everyone, and we'll go to the next one. Mm-hmm. Is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
Hearing no objection, let's go. How long after the board is slated before a committee must meet?
No,
and
no,
reach
we
form?
Remember we no. already answered that. And we
oh, yeah, that's right. Thank you.
Strike it.
Thank you. Okay, yes. Oh, my screen went away. The next one. Yes? Who came on?
Want me to read it?
Yeah, I just found it. Okay, the rule to require management to provide documents regarding finance and operations to PNB, LSB, and stakeholders. And starting, hello, who came on? Anybody come on? Okay, start with paid salaries and histories, like how long frozen and position and names, all with their signed permission. How does the group feel about this?
This is Bob.
Yes, Bob.
Okay, yeah, Bob Lederer, WBA. I would suggest we separate this discussion into the two separate pieces that you put
yes.
together here. One is
uh-huh.
the general question of requiring management to provide documents to PNB, LSB, and stakeholders. And
okay,
then
let's
separate
put
from
part
that,
one.
Yeah, part one. Part two is uh-huh. the question of salary disclosure. Uh-huh. It's a whole different conversation with different rules and so on.
Uh-huh.
So is that? Can we start with the first part?
Okay, let's do start with the first part. Is that okay with everyone?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So I sent to this committee a few weeks ago the pre-existing motions that the PNB adopted back in 2004 and then slightly revised in 2005 that are, in a nutshell, the original one is somewhat long, so I won't read it, but the gist of it is to require that that management locally and nationally cooperate with both the LSB and the PNB, but that the coordinating committee can play kind of a timetable role where they kind of regulate, like, you know, to prevent management from being too overwhelmed with too many requests at once. If they, you know, if management says we need a little more time to get these documents, then the coordinating committee could say, well, okay, that one, you should have that by this date and this by that date and so on. But it basically says that if an LSB or a PNB requires something or requests something, it really should be provided, you know, in some sort of reasonable time frame.
Oh,
so that's already on the books, but enforcement is a whole different issue. It may be officially on the books. That doesn't mean it's honored or it's honored consistently, let me say, because, you know, certainly information does come through from time to time. But there's many cases that I know a lot of people could testify to where information is requested by an LSB committee or an LSB as a whole or a PNB committee, and then weeks and months and sometimes years go by and it's not provided by management. So then it's a question of following up and then making sure these rules get enforced. So maybe that's, I guess I would suggest we look more at the enforcement of existing rules rather than, you know, creating new rules.
Okay, and it does include stakeholders too, or just LSB, PNB, and LSB?
Well,
yes, who's on? Who came in?
Hi, Nancy. This is This is Tracy. I told you I would make it about 6:15.
Oh, welcome, hello. Welcome. Okay. I hope you're not driving. Are you? Are you in a safe place?
I'm in a safe place.
Okay, good. Okay, Tracy, we're discussing the management's showing the PNB and the LSB documents or finance or contracts. And Bob just answered that it is in the books that they do need to show that, but enforcement is the problem. So we're now trying to create a way where this can be done smoothly and efficiently, not just 2-3 years later. Or okay, go ahead, Bob.
Well, your last question, as I understood it, Nancy, was are stakeholders covered? And maybe you could first explain what you mean by that word, because
our sponsors, our members.
Members.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, all right. There's this policy in that was adopted as a motion by the PNB in 2004, and as I said, slightly amended in 2005. Then there's the bylaws that have separate rights for members. Members are entitled to certain documents. It's not as full a range as the PNB and the LSB. There's some limits on that. But, you know, we can look at the bylaws and see what that says. So that's somewhat protected. So, and then also there's the absolute right of directors, which are PNB members, to inspect, you know, at any reasonable time and then look at any document. So those are all separate kind of policies. And that's in the bylaws and in California law about the right of members of the PNB, the board of directors, which in our case is the PNB, to inspect the books of the corporation that they sit on the board of.
On the national people with national experience, the national delegates board of directors experience, was that done immediately? Did you have any trouble? Is anybody here that had that experience?
I remember some years ago there was an attempt at
doing
inspection. R. Paul Martin from WBAI.
Okay. Uh-huh.
I remember back some years ago there was an attempt at an inspection at WBAI, and gee whiz, some actual PNB members tried to interfere with it. So it can be very interesting sometimes. I think after that incident, that sort of thing was largely discouraged by the PNB. But in terms of a director really does have the right to see just everything in the whole place. And I mean everything. They want to, you know, any information that a director can get, because they're essentially in charge. PNB is really in charge of all of Pacifica. Outside of that, you then have layers of who can see what. And, well, without getting into another aspect of what has been brought up, there are lesser rights to see things elsewhere. I mean, a lot of the time, I think this probably goes on a case-by-case basis, although some things are always being asked for and get coughed up or not. So, is that.
Okay, well, why don't we have some sort of procedure, like when an LSB wants to see something, they have the right, right, Bob? Is that what you said? Both the board of directors and the LSB, they have the right to see things, right?
This is Tracy for the SAC.
You're ready
for me?
Okay. Uh-huh. I see. Well, Yeah, I think our poll is, are you finished? Our poll, did you have, like, for example, a contract that one of the LSBs wanted to see?
Oh,
did you ever...
well, we have a contract that, we have a contract for a phone system at BAI that the finance committee, which I chair, has been asking for a year or more. And we can see what is probably the contract, but we've never been able to see the signed contract. We were told at one point that it was not in New York, and people were looking for it in California, and nobody's given it out yet. So it may be somewhere in Berkeley, and people may still be looking for it.
That sounds so disorganized, not to know, for the person, like, in the manager, not to know where it is. Never mind.
Well,
Tracy, are you finished?
Well, when you have management where you have three or four people as management over the course of a year or so, things might go away. I mean, the management that was there for this is at least a management to go. You know, sometimes in the stations, as I think we all realize, sometimes at the stations you can have who's in charge, you know, becoming kind of a rotating thing and rotating rapidly. So that may be the situation there. And I think at some point somebody's going to cough this up. But, you know, that's a specific thing that's been brought up at BAI.
I see. And the committee that you were talking about wanted to see the telephone bill in a contract. They made a motion in their committee, or they just politely asked the manager to show it to them.
We had a motion made. We officially asked for it, and it's we got what management had, but the rest of it seems to be in Pacifica management, and so that's the last the committee's been told about this.
I see. Okay, Tracy, your turn. Tracy?
I think maybe we might be having a little clarity around the something, because I think it depends what the something is in terms of the ease or the difficulty of seeing it. It is true that directors have basically unlimited inspection rights. So one option that an LSB or any other entity can always exercise is finding a director, ideally a director in Berkeley that they feel is friendly, and asking for a director inspection to be performed on their behalf. That's always an option. So rather than people getting eternally frustrated, I think they should realize that, you know, every LSB has PNB reps, and those PNB reps can exercise their director's inspection rights, you know, on behalf of their constituents if their constituents ask them to. And that can include listeners, that can include staff or staff reps, and that can include LSBs. Other than that, like R. Paul said, it depends on what the thing is in terms of whether direct inspection rights go further down the pipeline. Sometimes they do and sometimes they don't. For example, 990s are available to any resident, you know, to any individual that wants them. And things kind of, you know, run down a spectrum from here to there in terms of whether or not they must be available upon request, and if so, on what timeline. But again, the bylaws do provide the Board of Directors with unlimited inspection rights. And I think the intent of the law is to do it that way. So it may be a question of getting information out about how people proceed to request information if they want them from their elected representatives.
Okay, so we're back. We're still at the same point. It's the enforcement. We need to create some enforcement here. Anybody want to take a stab at this? Like, you know, make a motion, a committee makes a motion, or the national delegate is refused how many times, and then my question, does Berkeley have everything that from every station, every contract, a copy of it?
Probably not. probably has some and doesn't have others.
Okay, how many requests from a LSB or a committee or a national delegate, how many requests and for how long?
I mean, there's a protocol for this. It should happen on the first request, and it should happen within 10 working days of the first request. Again, your LSB should make these requests through the PNB reps that you sent. And if the PNB reps can get the information directly, that's fine, and they can certainly go to the GM and request it, or they can go to the national office and request it. And if they would like a Berkeley director to do it by proxy for them in person, all they have to do is ask. So I'm wondering whether...
whether... Tracy, are you still there? Did we lose Tracy?
I dropped off.
Okay. Well, shall we make some motion of, it doesn't say within 10 days, or she said it says there's a rule about 10 days after a request.
I'm sorry, my cell phone. Yeah, my cell phone conked out in the middle.
Okay, I'm glad you didn't conk out. So you said there is a rule that says after 10 days of requesting, it should be fulfilled?
Yeah, on the first request.
To a national delegate, not to a committee or not to a LSB.
The request should be made to a member of the board of directors to make a request to either the national office or the GM, whoever it is that they feel, you know, has the stuff that they want to inspect. And that response needs to be responded to by management, whoever is in the role of management, within 10 working days. You know, they have to set an appointment or a time. They either need to send the information or set up an appointment or a time for the person to come by and get it.
Okay, it seems like we should have a form of this kind of request and signed and witnessed. And then the goods are not delivered, then the national delegate can send it to the ED or the executive director or to the PNB.
Sure.
Shall we make some kind of form like this? Yes, Bob, go ahead.
I think it's important to keep separate two different issues about information. One is what Tracy was just referring to, which is about physical in-person inspections where you look at a document and you photocopy a document, et cetera, et cetera. That's very important. But it's actually different from the more common thing, which is that a committee is in the middle of a meeting and saying, you know, as the example our Paul gave, like we're discussing, well, just how much expense has WBA incurred by contracting to install a new phone system? Well, it would help if we could see the contract and see what the clauses are about, you know, how much per month, blah, blah, blah. So then the committee, you know, either orally or through an email, asks the manager, can you please provide this to us? Now, you know, I don't think you want to require everyone to go through the arduous process of scheduling a date and coming in physically in person, or if you're not in the city, designating a PNB member. I mean, that's an absolute right, and that, you know, can't be infringed on. But that's a different issue than, I think, the issue that's much more common than I thought, that why Nancy originally put this on the agenda, which is committees doing their business that need information to make decisions should be able to get it via email from, or, you know, or at the next meeting, the manager or whoever should come with a hard copy, you know, a handout, a printed copy, and say, okay, here's the here's how much we spent last year on X, or here's a copy of the contract on, et cetera. So I would just encourage us to keep those two things separate, because
okay,
I think the real area...
Separate. Nickname these two things, the things you want to...
In-person document inspections and requests for information.
Okay. So, and either...
And requests for information also can go beyond existing documents. Like, for instance, our LSB over the years at times has said, please give, said to the manager, please give us a report on... you know, the inventory of all equipment. Now, even if there's not currently a recent inventory in writing, the board can ask, can you please compile one and email it to us? So that's an example of it wouldn't be a you could do an inspection and you could find, you know, how many pieces of equipment are sitting there, but if what you really want is the report that catalogs how many pieces of equipment are sitting there, the manager has to direct someone on the staff to do the work and compile the report. And again, I think that's in the spirit of this motion I referred to that the PNB passed 7 years ago. It said, you know, unless there's some legal restriction, information should be provided if it's necessary to do the work of the LSB or the PNB.
Okay. How do we enforce? Do we make a penalty? Is that the only... what can we do? I think pressure is first and then penalty later. Work on pressure first. So not being able to get something, it has to be documented if you're going to complain. A letter. And who do you complain to the executive director, or do you complain, well, first complain to the manager, you know, we've asked you such and such date, still have not received anything. Send a notarized copy to the executive director and see if she can persuade the manager to show these things. What is a good way?
Or get an attorney.
Oh, no! These should not need an attorney. Well, what if we penalize the salary? Would that change things? Or they have to send some kind of reason why. They have to give some kind of written report to the ED why they cannot show these things. Or
this is Sasha, if I may.
Yes, Sasha.
Actually, you know, there are legal requirements for showing these things. And if they refuse, I think you can just assume that you've been refused, and then you have to take up some other steps. And when I said get an attorney, I wasn't just joking. I mean, you know, that's what's needed. I don't know what to tell you. You know, if people are refusing to show documents to board members that they're supposed to show them, there's a reason for that, right? They have a reason for doing that. So, and you're not going to get to see them unless you take some stronger action. I don't know what to say.
Art Paul for stack?
Yes, go ahead. Art Paul from
WBAI. In terms of a penalty, whose salary are you going to do anything to? And that would be a really, that would be something that would get Pacifica into some interestingly dicey areas. So you can't go screwing around with people's salaries just so easily. The main thing is the PNB. You can bring motions to the PNB and have your directors go there and say, well, we asked for X, we didn't get X, and see if they'll bring it up to the PNB and if the PNB will get to it and do something about it. This can be like molasses at times, but that's about what I think you can really and truly do, unless you do want to go get a court order. And I kind of think the court will then say, see your PNB about this.
Yep.
So, you know, the main thing is the director's inspections. If things are truly serious, the director's inspections are the main way of forcing information. And, of course, we're in Pacifica, we have to understand. And sometimes there may be information people are asking for that is not available. They just don't have it. You know, I can see a situation where you could ask Pacifica, where is X? We want to see X. And Pacifica, nobody in Pacifica can find X because somebody lost it sometime. Could happen.
Hi, this is Brenda from KPFK.
Yes, Brenda.
Hi, sorry I'm late. Could I find out what part of the agenda we're on?
Yes. We're talking about trying to get information like documents or contracts or expenses or receivables from the manager, and we do have a right to see these things, but it's the enforcement, getting things shown from the manager to the committee or a local committee or the boards, being able to get it. It's just enforcement. And who said? Sasha said, well, get an attorney. I think maybe Tracy said that too. And I just feel that that should not be necessary. We ought to be able to create something, some kind of better pressure, maybe get the managers to sign something, like if they refuse and to give information within a certain time, like 1 week or 2 weeks, or then they forfeit part of their salary. They should promise to give some of their salary to the station or to Pacifica, maybe $1,000 or something. I'm just at the top of my head.
Nancy, this is Tracy for the stack when you get to me.
And,
yeah. Okay.
And Bob for the stack.
Okay. So who was last? All right. So Tracy, go ahead.
Oh, that was fast. I thought you had people lined up. Okay.
Didn't you ask to get on the stack just now?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
I didn't say anything about lawyers, by the way. I don't think that's the best way to settle things.
Oh, I wasn't you. I'm sorry. Then it was Sasha.
That wasn't my joke, yeah.
Okay, sorry.
This is what I would say. And this basically is not just a question of Pacifica's bylaws. It's a question of sort of California Corporation Code, which is the way that the law deals with this is that the board of directors, which is the national board, has unlimited directors' inspection rights. And that's a basic, you know, premise of corporate law in the United States. And Pacifica is a not-for-profit corporation, so it is bound by that law. That's not just in our bylaws. It's in the corporate code. So it goes above and beyond our bylaws, and that's why our bylaws say what they do. Those rights don't extend to local station boards, and they don't extend to PNB committees, and they don't extend to LSB committees, and they don't extend to anything else. So in reality, what the redress is for all of the problems that are being mentioned here is to go through one of the four individuals that your LSB has elected to the PNB for that signal area and get redressed that way. That's the way that the law is set up. So anything else to the right or to the left of this, A, it's not going to get held up in court, and B, it's kind of avoiding the obvious answer to the issue, which is to exercise directors' inspection rights, which are by law absolutely and totally unlimited. You can access any data. So I think that people just have to get in the habit of using their PNB directors from the signal area in that way. And I think that your suggestion of maybe some forms or some regularization of the process and some sort of awareness that this is how things work, because I don't think people know this in general, would be really helpful. But that's what the process is, and that's what the redress is for any of the organization's members at all.
Okay, I have a question. Bob, you said something earlier that the PNB has access to any of things, and you also said LSB, right?
No.
Oh, Bob went off. Did Bob go off? Is Bob there?
Sorry.
Yeah. This, you said that it is on the books that the LSB has access to any information?
No.
Well, it doesn't. I posted the motion a few weeks ago. It doesn't say any information. It does. Hold on. Let me try to find it again and read from it. Just give
you
me
posted
one.
It?
I sent it to our listserv on. Let me see here.
Today is the last
November
meeting.
November 28th. So what it says about LSBs is that, it mainly talks about the process for responding to an information request. It doesn't absolutely say everything has to be responded to. It says, in the event the information is not provided in a timely manner or in the event of a difference of opinion between management and the LSB, committee, or subcommittee about the appropriateness of the request, the manager and or chair of the LSB committee, LSB, committee, or subcommittee, so it could be the chairs of any of those three bodies, shall submit the request in writing via email to the National Coordinating Committee representative. And the Coordinating Committee will determine a time frame for response and will establish who is responsible for responding. So, you know, that's not quite as strong as saying there's an absolute right to every single thing that they request, but it makes the presumption that, yeah, that's what should happen unless, you know, the Coordinating Committee would say that management has some, you know, legally valid reason for saying no. So it's kind of a presumption that information should be provided, and definitely that it should be provided in a prompt way. So I just wanted to have us express a slightly different view than Tracy about the approach people should take. Certainly what she's saying is correct as a last resort. There's no question that, you know, that inspectors, that director's inspection right is, you know, is a right, and that, you know, that absolutely has to be complied with, and it's very serious if it's not. That's one issue. But if we're going to kind of assume that every single time any committee or any LSB within Pacifica wants a legitimate piece of information, that they have to go through this both time-consuming and,
yes,
and cumbersome and difficult process of make an appointment, come in, you know, take off from work, perhaps, for those who work from 9 to 5, or, you know, find someone who's not working at the moment, go to the station during working hours, et cetera, then that's a recipe to make sure that very little information ever gets out. I'm not saying, you know, there's anything wrong with doing director's inspections. I'm simply saying we shouldn't make that the main recourse. It should be the absolute last resort if everything else has failed. And what I think Nancy is pointing to, which makes sense to me, is maybe we should look back at these motions that the PNB adopted 7 years ago and say, you know, since there's been so much noncompliance, maybe the motion needs to be changed and maybe some tighter methods. Maybe enforcement is not the accurate word, since, as Tracy said, ultimately an LSB does not have a legal right to obtain information. But there's certainly kind of an intent of the bylaws that LSB should have a lot of information. And, you know, in this earlier motion does kind of make that's the presumption. So maybe it can be tightened up in a way that makes it clear to management, look, you have to be accountable if you're going to say no, or if you're going to refuse to give a yes or a no. You have to have a time limit. I mean, there's things that could be done. I certainly can't sit here tonight and say what I think should be done, but I think we could look at it more, think about it until the next meeting and revisit it. So I guess that would be my suggestion, is that we try to wrap this up because we have several other agenda items, and
yes,
but, you know, with an eye towards revisiting it next month.
Okay. So members, please be thinking, if you have some good idea or any idea, and even if you think your idea is kind of, you know, not that good, but maybe somebody else of us can tweak it, and let's table this, but think about this, because this is a real problem, and you other people, you have managers that come and go really fast, so you have to start all over with the new manager. That's really consuming a lot of time, and you don't do a good job of what you're supposed to be doing because of no information. This is really a problem. Okay, anybody else want to comment about this thing until we go to the next thing? Anybody have anything to say? Okay, hearing none. What was this? Oh, now I got to go find where I was. The second part was about salaries. Salaries, the reason why I put that on there is because we have salaries that have been frozen for years and years. Some of our employees have been frozen for 7 years. I mean, this is what they tell us, LSB. I don't have any evidence. I need to see that it's actually for, I need to see, you know, what it is and how long it's been that way. And asked one of this paid staff, would you mind signing permission that you agree to let your salary, your position be known and your name be known? He said, sure. He said,
And my salary's been frozen for a long time, 5 years, and $26,000 a year, he said. Well, anyway, but there's others that have been frozen for 7 years, he told me. And this is hard because they have to do this particular one I know, they have to find out other part-time jobs. I mean, like 2 or 3 jobs. And here in Texas, I don't know if it's the same where y'all are. I mean, Texas is a employment at will state, and so, you know, it's a right to hire, right to fire state here. And I thought we have the worst conditions, but I don't know. It might be the same way up in some of your stations too. So I think we ought to have a way that someone can, with their own permission, sign. And I think some of them will come forward who are not ashamed of it. And also, I know there is this worry because R. Paul Martin said that, or was it Tony? I can't remember. Was it Tony Norman? I can't remember. Somebody said last time that when they go applying for another job, if the new company sees how little they were, you know, how they were existing on crumbs before, it would affect their new salary at the new position at a new company. But that may happen. That may happen. It may be unfavorable result. But still, we have to respect the freedom of speech, freedom of expression. If someone's willing to come forward and saying they're getting a salary that's been frozen for 7 years, I think they have a right to have it published. And we ought to, you know, offer that way. I don't see how it would. I'm not a lawyer, but I don't see how that would end up in the employee suing the foundation if they give their permission. And it would, I think it would result in more contributions if the members knew these things, if they were published on the website. Anyway, I don't think we can do a good job as board members if we can't see these things and how long they've been frozen, a history of them. So does anyone want to comment on this? Do they agree or disagree? Or?
Yeah, sure. Tracy for the stack.
Tracy, go ahead.
Okay.
Rob Paul, okay.
Okay, so two things.
Go ahead.
I totally agree that the LSB should be able to confidentially see salaries and salary history. That should be a tab in your annual budget. If it's not, then that's something to talk about with your finance committee and your treasurer. And, you know, history going back a period of time should be available upon request. That's part of responsible budgeting is, you know, what's going on with our salaries? Do we really need to allocate more resources to personnel or less resources to personnel, and can we do that? So that's the first thing I would say about the specific stuff that you were talking about in Houston. However, in terms of publishing stuff on websites, I know here in California that the SEIU has actually gone to court about public workers being obligated to disclose their salaries. Of course, public workers have less privacy rights than private workers, and we're a private entity. So my guess is that in the stations that have union representation for the majority of the workers, that would not be super-duper popular. And I know that you're saying it would only be if people choose to disclose it, but my understanding is that issues of employees feeling coerced that they need to give permission or their management will be sort of upset with them or something like that, or the board would be upset with them or their job would be in danger somehow. In other words, I think sooner or later you'd end up in front of the Labor Relations Board with a clause like that. So I do think that you're right about salary history being transparent to the board. That's very important to the local board. But I don't think disclosing things on websites, even with permission, is quite sound policy. I think there would be problems with that down the line. Because you know how contentious we are.
But then Simon Legree is very happy with your opinion.
What's that? I'm sorry?
I said, then Simon Legree would be very happy with your opinion, Tracy. It's very comfortable for them to keep these things hidden.
I know what you're saying, but I really think that in the stations with union workforces, you'd have a real big problem with that. And again, you know, hidden is the question. It is available to the board. I don't know if you can go beyond that with people's salaries without getting into difficult territory. Like I said, the SEIU has already been legal about this with other entities. So there's a history of it being problematic.
Okay.
Nancy, Nancy?
Yes.
This
yes.
is Gail.
Who's that?
I Gail.
Yes. You need to go?
Yeah, I just... No,
oh,
I
you
just
want to say
to
something?
Make a, I just wanted to make a comment on this.
Oh, just a minute. Our Paul's on the stack. Can you wait? Do you
yes.
I know.
Yes.
Okay. Our Paul, go ahead. I'm sorry. Are you finished, Tracy? Oh, yeah, totally. Okay. Okay. Our Paul, then. Please.
Yeah.
The WBAI.
Our Paul Martin from WBAI. Yes, the issue here is a couple of different things. If there's no free speech problem, because if an employee wants to tell the world, I work this many hours and get paid this much money, they can do so, and you can't even stop them. However, Tracy brings up the issue of there are collective bargaining units, and if you go to an individual paid employee and say, we would like you to sign this thing saying we can find out what your exact pay is, that would be a direct violation of any collective bargaining unit. I was chief steward at the union at BAI for quite a few years, and there would be an immediate grievance, and you would probably be before the NLRB rather rapidly, and you would lose.
Oh, that's not what I was saying. That I understand. It's coercive. It would be intimidating. No, if the employee themselves came forward and said, "Please publish it," that's what I was saying.
Yeah. Well, if they on their own initiative came forward
yes.
and said that, and
yes.
you could well let me go on, and you could absolutely prove that that's what they did, then they're free to do that. Anybody's free to say, I make X amount of money. And if they don't like it, they're certainly free to say, I make X amount of money and I should be making more. Everybody's allowed to say that. So that's sort of a moot issue. The other thing is, in terms of LSBs getting the information, there's a rule within Pacifica for how that's done. This is a rule from 2004, I remember. And the rule is that the LSBs don't get given the exact information. What happens is, the information, the exact information is given to the treasurer. The treasurer then changes the exact information to be somewhere in the range of plus or minus $3,000 per year and can give that to the LSB as confidential information. So even though the LSB doesn't get the exact information, they get pretty much the range. And but that's still confidential. No LSB member can then take a list of those somewhat changed and made fuzzy salary listings and publish them or something. That would be a very bad thing. So that's the rule within Pacifica. And in general, I don't see there being a real issue here in terms of employee rights or anything. The employee has a right to go say, this is what I'm making and I don't like it. The LSBs get... you know, information that they need. They don't really need to know, you know, to the dollar what Joe Blow makes. They should know if, you know, somebody who does a 5-hour work week clerk job is getting $100,000, they need to know that, but they would see that within the plus or minus $3,000 thing. You get an idea of the range. And the other side of it is that the unions would have a big say in anybody wanting to find out about this because, again, in Pacifica especially, people are working for less than they would work in other places, and it really will hurt you. I've known people doing this, and we've gotten feedback from people in the real world who've had this happen. If somebody finds out what you're making, you know, and you're making low, they will lowball you because they know that you can live on a certain amount of money, and they'll give you a lower figure than they would otherwise have given you. So when somebody does a job at Pacifica and then wants to go someplace else, they can in fact find themselves at a serious disadvantage if the prospective employer knows what they have, you know, what they've been getting, and knows
yes,
that
yes.
they can lowball them.
Yes, you said this before.
Yeah.
Yes, I understand. Can you finish? I want to go to Gail.
Yes.
Okay, Gail, go ahead. Yes,
okay,
go ahead. Mark Paul.
I just wanted to say that human nature being what it is and so much going on around the network, I would feel very uncomfortable even with an employee saying publish something on the website or whatever. doing that. I just don't think that's a good idea. I think that there's a reason to set up structures to get information. Anybody, as has been said, can walk in the middle of a room and say, I'm making this and I don't like it. They have every right to do that. They have every right to demand more money or whatever. But I don't think that that's something that should be coming through something like a website. Or I guess that's the part that would bother me a lot.